somehow I keep asking God, I don't have to be big for God to use me to do great things for him. Because just a little bit before we begin our sermon, I grew up in that village, and all that you've seen there on that video has taken place in 3 years. But I grew up in that village, a little kid, didn't have clothes to put on. I remember I used to have a top, but I didn't have pants. You know, we walked half naked until I was about 9 years old. And my mom left my dad. I'm being told this story because I was a young kid. She divorced my dad when I was 2 years old. And my dad was an evangelist. And during then, my dad did not have anything, you know. He didn't have a job. He didn't have any source of money. And we lived in a very small, tiny house. It was a grass-thatched house, mudded walls. And I remember the nights when the house was all water. When there was heavy rains, it was all wet. And one day I asked my dad, "Dad, you are a preacher, you are an evangelist, and you tell people God will bless them. Why is God not blessing us?" And these were the words of my dad. He told me, "My son, maybe the blessings will come through you." I remember when I started going to school. Now, this is really sad. The school was 6 miles away. I walked barefoot, hit my leg on stones, had one pair of uniform, didn't have lunch. 6 miles, sometimes I was late in the school. I would be beaten by teachers. Beaten by teachers. One day, a teacher whipped me, and it was all blood in my stomach. Went back home, my grandma was there. She hugged me and told me, "My grandchild, you will be fine." Life was brutal for me when I was a little young kid. It was tough. I remember, you know, preachers used to come to our home. So as a little kid, everybody wanted to pray for me. You know, and they wanted me to get saved. And so many times they prayed for me, and you know, I was this nice little kid in the village. And after 15 years, I did not know I had my mom living somewhere. Nobody told me. My dad did not tell me about that. But while in high school, second grade, that is when I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. A pastor had come to our school, presented the message of God from the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 23, and chapter 6, 23. "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." Those scriptures touched my heart. I realized I was a sinner, and I needed Jesus in my life. When I finished high school, life was hard. And so some of these I'll keep throwing there. But the message, I feel like God is pushing me to share with you guys today. It's a simple message, but I believe it is going to reach to our hearts and speak to our hearts as we continue to go out there and be his hands, his voice, and his feet to present the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The heading of our message is, "What do you have in your hands?" Now, as you sit there, I don't know what you have in your hands, but sometimes we have many things in our hands. And the question I want to ask us this morning, what do you have in your hands? And how can God use what you have in your hands for his glory? How can you give God a priority with that in your life? Now, many of us have so many things. We have our children. We have our cars, we have our houses, we have so many things that worries us. We have so many things that when we think about them, they break our heart. We have so many things that takes us away from God. What is it that you have in your hand as we look into this message this morning? I want us to turn to the book of Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2. Exodus 4 verse 2. The Lord is talking to Moses here, and he has to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. But here is a man who is complaining. He looks at himself and he thinks he's so limited that he cannot do it. And so in verse 2, the Bible says, "So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it." Now that caught my attention. Moses had a rod. And there is something I've been telling Pastor Homer since he took me from Raleigh recently. That when God wants to do something, you cannot stop it. When God wants to move, you cannot stop him. When God wants to do something in your life, you can never stop him. And so here is Moses, and what he has in his hand is a rod. He has a rod. And God says, "Lays it down." This rod stands to be a serpent. And Moses runs away for it. Why was Moses running away from this rod? When it turned to be a serpent, why did Moses run away from it? Have you ever thought of that? And I was thinking about that. I said, maybe this was a type of a snake that was very venomous, but Moses could not stand next to it. And the children of Egypt knew about this type of snake. But God uses this to bring his name so that the children of Egypt and the children of Israel can believe in the God of Jacob, the God of Abraham. And the Bible says in verse 5 that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. God used a rod, only a rod, to make his name known so that these people may believe in him. In 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 2, what do you have in your house? There was this widow who had two of his sons soon being taken. And we look at that verse, chapter 4, verse 2. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Now, what I'm trying to say here is this. God will use what you have. When you come in the presence of God, come the way you are. God is ready to move. God is ready to minister to you. God is ready to speak to you just the way you are. This widow goes to Elisha. She has nothing. She has only a pitcher. And this is what happens here. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." And the miracle of God starts happening here. Then he said, "Go borrow vessels vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all the vessels and set aside the full one. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. She brought the vessels to her and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her sons, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. This is a widow who has nothing. When I look at these scriptures, I remember the people I minister to in Kenya. I remember orphans who has nothing. I remember widows who has nothing, and they are HIV positive. They have all rashes and wounds all over their body. And on a Sunday, they come in the presence of God. They worship God passionately, knowing that the only hope they have is God. And you see tears in their eyes. I remember a day when I gave 100 widows gourds. They had all these tears flowing down when we gave over 400 chickens to orphans so that they can raise them to support them, so that they can grow and have something. The question I'm asking us today, what do you have in your hands? Joshua had a spear. And in Joshua 8:18, if you can go back to Joshua 8:18, Joshua had a spear. And God used that. God speaks to Joshua, and God moves. A spear? Only that. God, see what God tells Joshua here. Joshua chapter 8, verse 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand towards Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush rose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it and hurried to set the city on fire. Through the spear, what Joshua had, God gives them victory. Only that. It's that simple. God wants us to come to him in simplicity. Simplicity. Humility. God wants us to be humble. When I remember about myself, a poor kid, changing that community and wanting to do that in another community and in another community. And this is what I say. I have to live a life of faith, because human beings will disappoint you, but God will never disappoint you. His promises are true. His promises stand forever and forever. And we have to put our hope in God. Every day, we have to put our hope in God. Ezra 7:14. Ezra 7:14. Ezra 7:14 says this, and whereas you are being sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. Right now, as you sit there, the question is to you, what do you have in your hand? We have the word of God that is given to us. It is the power unto salvation. The Word of God is the truth that brings peace in our hearts. When we go through pain, when we go through challenges, when we face those difficult moments that you think you're lonely, you can turn to the Word of God and you can get comfort and peace and consolation in the Scriptures. Jesus himself had compassion to people. And I looked at this when he asked his disciples, "What do you have?" In the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 16 to 18, they had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And he says, "Bring them here to me. Bring what you have to me, my children, my child. Bring it here to me." And Jesus takes it and makes it many. See, sometimes God has blessed us and we can't even realize those blessings. We can't even be contented with what God has given to us. And I want to tell you this. As you sit there today, the faithfulness of God is always with us, we that are in Christ Jesus, those who know him as our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And this same message that is being preached in the United States is the same message that is being preached in Africa. It is the same message that those orphans are hearing. It is the same message that those widows are hearing. It is the Word of God. You know, we got a privilege in Africa that missionaries came to our land. And we had the message. And today there is a revival, there is a movement in Africa. For an African, following God is a real deal. Because that's the only hope they have. Every Friday morning when I see those kids spending time with God for 2 hours, as young as they are, and reading scriptures. As young as they are, they spend time in God's Word. What do you have that you did not receive? What is it that you have that you did not receive? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4:7. 1 Corinthians 4:7. If you're with me, just go there quick and look at that. You know, this kind of got my attention. What do you have that you did not receive? For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostle, lest as men condemned to death. For we have been made as spectacles to the world, both to angels and to men. What is it that you have that you did not receive? This morning I just received a gift. And that was my message that I was going to preach. And so I have it. It is mine. She cannot take it back. I just received it. What do you have? Your children. The Bible says children are a blessing from the Lord. We receive them from the Lord. Your clothes. Your car. Your house, what do you have this morning with you in your house, in your closet that you did not receive? You can take this privilege to thank God and thank him for the opportunity that he has given you to enjoy his blessings with fellow believers in Christ. Our God is faithful. Our God is just. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 8. The Bible speaks to this church, and this is the faithful church.
And if we can go back to verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7 of the book of Revelation, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. And then he tells this church, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Can those words be said to this church today? Can those words be said to the body here? Now, when I came here, I really saw God in this church. And I've been experiencing God. I mean, you guys have a pastor and a half. You have a pastor and a half. You know, he meets everybody, anybody, and how are you doing? You know, over there, and I mean, it's all beautiful. And that is what we want in the body of Christ. Fellowship in him. The key to the reason why we are believers in Christ is that so that we may bring others to him. So that we may share this message that we have received with others that are around us. You know, when I meet in Kenya, speak to many thousand teenagers. I just did a conference of 5,000 teenagers in our country. I mean, they weep. They cry to Jesus. You find a teenager is an orphan, leading a whole house, trying to get food to feed their younger siblings. A teenage child is sick, cannot even afford to go to the hospital. And they have pain, and the only hope that they have is God. And we remember God's faithfulness. And we look at the scriptures. And I want to thank the people of America. I told a brother here that this country has really touched many lives all over the world. The believers in this nation has really been a blessing in helping those who are poor all over the world. When you travel in Africa, you see it. You feel it. We have a ministry in Bangladesh. In Bangladesh, there is only less than 1% Christianity. In Bangladesh, less than 1% Christianity, 87% Muslims. I was in that country, and on a Friday, it was noise pollution in the whole country. Muslims are meeting in their mosque. And you know what? God has given us over 4,000 teenagers who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in that country. The church is at work. It is a movement. Dan, who is our leader in that country, they tell him, we will shoot you. We will kill you. Don't preach to our teenagers. And these are the things that those who have chosen to be radical for our Savior face every day. God loves to use people, starting with what they have. God will use you beginning with what you have. Some guy had an ox god. David had a sling. Look at that. Only a sling. And look at Goliath. Man, he was ready to launch. He was ready to go fight. He had all the tools that he needs. God doesn't care about how great you are. God looks at the heart. Your heart. My heart. And that is the secret of success in ministry. You know, Paul had the PhDs and whatever it is. He had the best education ever. But Paul goes down and says this, I count all these things done and useless for the sake of following Christ, the hope of glory. I count it all useless. He used a jawbone with Samson. You remember the story of Samson? God uses a jawbone to to do his job. Rahab and the red cord. Mary had some beautiful perfume, went and sat at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ and just worshipped him. We have ladies in this church that are amazing, that God has called to do something like that. And God honors that. God honors your heart. Aaron had a rod, and Dorcas had a needle. All were used for God. All of these people, they were used for God. Not only the pastor, that lady had only a needle, and that needle was put to use for God's glory. Don't look at your service in the church and say, I'm just a cleaner. I'm just a secretary. God honors your service to his people. He honors that. And what do we have that might indicate how God might use us? We have these things. You know, I'm a Luo in Kenya. I speak Luo. My second language is Swahili. My third language is English. Now, that is something I learned in school. All right? What might indicate how God might use us? We have a language. We have a language. We can go everywhere in the world and preach and minister and talk to one another. You remember the scriptures? Kind of God knew this. He said, go ye into all the world. And I joke with a friend of mine in Ohio, and when we met, I tell him, God did not say, sit ye or stay ye. God said, go ye into all the world. When I look at that corner there, I see that. That is the mission of this church. The purpose of this church is to go, beginning from Boone and all over around, the people around us here. They need to hear Jesus, and we should not tire from bringing the word of God to them. We should never give up. And sometimes when you feel like giving up, that is when God is almost bringing a soul to him. So never give up. When you feel like things are tough, God has a purpose in that. And he's going to move. And the best moment for me is when I am going through a problem and God moves. I rejoice. And I've learned now to smile when a problem comes in my life. I remember I was involved in a very bad accident. Boom! There is the accident. I remember smiling in that car and thanking God. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, God. Now I know. And I can grow through this opportunity. God has given us experience. He's given us the word of God. He's given us training, materials, spiritual gifts, and relationships. Relationships. We have relationships. We have friends. Everyone has friends and relationships. People you love, people you cherish, people in the family of God. We have relationships. We have tools that God has given us that we may use for him. Now, in the Bible, some people said they were something. Some people said they were something, and we know them, and we use these same things, same words, often. One of the guys was very angry, Cain. He was too angry. You know, God was not happy with the offering that he took. God was happy with Abel's offering, and he was too angry. And what did he do? Anger leads to death. He killed. Paul said he was too bad. Says, I'm a chief sinner. I am a chief sinner. I've done so many bad things. A persecutor of the church. God changed him and used him. He was worthless. But God turned that for his glory. Martha was too busy. You know, and this is where I get most of us Christians. We are too busy that we don't even get to study the Word of God. We are too busy that we don't even take time to pray. We are too busy that we don't even want to fellowship with one another and hear from Him. Martha was too busy, too discouraged. Jeremiah. We see Ananias, he was too fearful. David and Gideon, they said, man, I'm too insignificant. I'm too insignificant. And Moses, I'm too limited. I'm a slow speaker. I can't speak well. And Abraham and Sarah, they didn't believe. And now they didn't believe that God would give them a child. They are too old. And we bring all these excuses all the time. But the question, what is God's attitude towards people who are too something? What is God's attitude? Everyone who is too something, what is His attitude? When God the Father asked His Son, what do you have in your hands? When He asked His Son, my Son, what do you have in your hands? It was the scars of the nails. It was the scars of the nails. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Jesus was on the cross paying for the sins of the whole world. He had nothing but the scars of the nails. When you think about that, what goes on in your mind? When Jesus was on that cross, He had nothing. He had nothing but the nails. His nails, the scars. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And He gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. There is a song we just sang here this morning talking about reconciliation. God gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. Reconciling people to God. Reconciling people to each other. That is our mission. We should not be happy when our brothers and sisters are fighting each other. We should be there to bring reconciliation. Reconciling can be painful. It was painful for our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. He had to be nailed on that cross. Reconciling can be painful. There are people who harbor anger. There are people who have not forgiven, yet they have been forgiven on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us, give forgiveness. In the book of Matthew, give forgiveness. What do you have that can contribute to reconciliation, to reconciling people to God and to each other? What do you have that can contribute in reconciling people to God and each other? One of the things that you have is His forgiveness. We've been forgiven. And brothers and sisters, if you have no forgiveness, today is the day. The Bible says, come unto me, you who is heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world, He gave His Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It brings peace. It brings hope. And that hope does not disappoint. I have life in me. Life in me. What do I have that can contribute to reconciling people to God and to each other? His life in me. I'm God's child. And that's what breaks my heart. When I realized, Moses, I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to go change the world. I don't care who is, little child, poor widow, poor woman. I'm there to serve them. Whether in America, whatever it is, if God shows me this is an opportunity to serve, I am going to serve. And in my life, I know that if God is in it, no man can stop it. No man can stop it. Many people see impossibilities. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says those words in Philippians chapter 4. I can do things, all things through Christ who strengthens me. What do I have that can contribute to reconciling people to God? Knowledge of God's word. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, wait a minute. You have brothers and sisters in Christ that you love? That you can come together and fellowship one to another? And we can say, hallelujah, what a Savior. Amen. We have spiritual gifts to use in service to others. Spiritual gifts. Some are called to serve. Some are called to preach. Some are called to sing. Some are called to do something. Some are called to minister. This is the power of God. God giving each according to his purposes to them. And these gifts are used in the ministry for his glory to change our community, to change the world. We have a bigger task, believers. We have a bigger role, believers. And we must be ready to listen when God speaks. We must be ready to obey when God speaks. Because what is so dear to God's heart is this: that those who doesn't know him may get the opportunity to come to him. That is why I am a believer. I'm a witness of Christ. I have people I know and people I meet. When you meet a person, what goes on in your mind? You may walk away. I'm glad in Boone there is a ministry known as Samaritan's Pass, right? So it reminds you all the times when you meet people, you don't pass them, right? Think about them, right? And that ministry is here in Boone. Samaritan, a good Samaritan. When you meet people who are hurting, when you meet people who are in pain, what do? I have people I know and people I meet. I have weaknesses that give me common ground with others so we can understand each other's. We have to understand that all of us has our weaknesses. And when we come to Jesus, we can submit those weaknesses to him, and he will use us in those moments. And the last one, we have the message of reconciliation. We have the message of reconciliation. We have his message. And brothers and sisters, we should never shy away. When I took the message of God to Kenya, started preaching to 25 teenagers. Right now, we are working, ministering to 154,000 teenagers in Kenya and in Uganda. We've seen God bring 13,000 to salvation this year alone. This is the church. These are people coming to the church. These are teenagers that their lives are never going to be the same again because somebody is giving them opportunity to hear the message of God and hear it. We are raising men of God. We are planting churches in Kenya. Opportunity to plant churches. It is awesome. And I'm just thankful. You know, when I started Echoes of Mercy, I did not know that this was going to be this big. I had a struggle with it. And finally, I obeyed. and God has moved, and we are thinking of adopting another village and doing the same thing, helping these poor kids. For me, being there in the village and sitting with these people, and a widow coming to me and an orphan coming to me and telling me what they are going through and their pain, and holding their hands and praying with them. The Bible says that is a pure religion. It is pure in God's heart.
We have God's reconciliation. I just want us to bow down our heads and just pray. And as we pray, I know we go through many things in our life. And there are so many things that we face. Battles, challenges after challenges. Battles after battles. And we can come before Him this morning at His feet and surrender it all to Him. Bring it all to Jesus. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter which load it is. You can bring it at His feet and He will minister to you. If there is anyone in this room that has not accepted Jesus Christ as his personal or her personal Savior, this is an opportunity for you to do that. This is a great opportunity for you to do that. God wants you. God wants to use you. He wants to use you for His glory. And there is no any other better day than being in His presence today and hearing from Him and listening and see God speak to your heart. Father God, we are in awe of You. And Lord, we thank You. We are just simple people that You're using. And Father, I thank You for this church. I thank You for the body of believers in this meeting. Father, I thank You that we have a privilege to come together and worship You. Lord, You are powerful, You are amazing, and You are a great God. Lord, we know that without You, we can do nothing. We know, Lord, that we can come in Your presence with hope, humility, and brokenness, and we can surrender our pains before You. Lord, I pray for those who are in this meeting who are sick in their body, and Lord, they need healing. Lord, I pray for those whose relatives are in hospital and they need Your healing. Lord, I pray for those who have challenges with their homes and children, and Lord, I pray for forgiveness. If there is anybody in this room who has never forgiven anyone, Lord, may they leave this place with the hope to go and ask for forgiveness. Bring forgiveness in our hearts and help us, Lord, to live focusing our eyes onto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we love You and we thank You today. We ask for Your blessings. And may You keep us, Lord. Keep each of us. And help us, Lord, to be Your witnesses. Here in Boone, in the United States. And Lord, send us all over the world. That people may hear Your message. And that they may hear it loud and clear. Help us, God. And Lord, show us how to do it. And how to do it better. We thank You and honor You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.